It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
So let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 3, starting from verse 1.
Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene.
Why the Luke is writing all of these people's name, he wants to prove it to the people that the timing of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ's ministry is real. If they want to go and check in the history book, they cannot say there was no governor Pilate and there were no these kings. There were three kings' names are given, plus the Pilate name is given, the governor of Judea. So they cannot erase these names from the history. If those names are there, that means at that particular time, 15 years of reign of Tiberius Caesar. So they know this. Names are there in the history book. It says the timing of John the Baptist preaching time. Not only that, if you read the verse 2, they are given the two high priests' name. Please read.
Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness.
Now here is saying, plus they can check in the religious background in Judea, Anna as the priest, and Caiaphas, they were two high priests at that particular time. And Zechariah is the John the Baptist's father. And the word of God we read in the book of Luke also, Zechariah also was a high priest. So all those high priests' name is in their religious books. So we cannot say there was no Zacharias, there was no Annas the high priest, there was no Caiaphas the high priest. If those people were there, then the same timing that John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness. And so it is a proof given. If somebody tells you there is no proof of John the Baptist, there is no proof of the Jesus Christ, tell them to go to the book of Luke and read and understand. Let's read the verse 3.
And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Esaias the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.
Now here he's saying, John the Baptist is the first person in the Old Testament preaching about the repentance, preaching about the water baptism and telling people God is going to forgive your sins. In the olden time, in the time of Moses, they had to bring the sacrifice for their sins. Sacrifice, the high priest tells they how to bring it. Now the John the Baptist wants to change it. John the Baptist is saying, if you want to forgiveness from your sins, then what you do, just come, repent of your sins, believe the Jesus Christ who I am preaching about, and give your life to Jesus and be baptized, and your sins will be forgiven. This is the first time these people heard it. That's why the religious people were mad at John the Baptist, because their business is going to ruin now. So they are saying, who is this guy preaching about salvation, preaching about repentance, preaching about the water baptism? Because before that, there was no water baptism preached to the public. Water baptism was only given to the high priest and priest, whoever worshiping in the tabernacle or the temple. But the baptism was not given to the public. Just like 100 years ago, Bible was read by only priests and popes, but the Bible was not given to the ordinary people. And so when the Bible is given to the each and everyone in their hands, now they know what the salvation is all about. The same way, the water baptism was not proclaimed to each and every one of them. Now the John the Baptist says, God wants each and everyone to be baptized. Now, this kind of rules and regulations were not written in the Jewish law. But the God told the John the Baptist, you're going to do it. And it was recorded in their book, Book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 3 to 5.
The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it.
See, this is what the John the Baptist was told. And I believe that John the Baptist might have read this. His father was the high priest. He might have taught him. When the John the Baptist was born, his father said, this is the man. This is my son is going to preach the gospel, make the highway for God. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 3 and let's read from verse 4 to 6.
As it is written in the book of the words of Esaias the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God.
See, this was a new thing to this audience. The Israeli people, the high priest and priest, and everyone, when they start listening, even though it is recorded in the book of Isaiah, they didn't understand. John the Baptist is preaching. Some of the things did not happen in the time of John the Baptist or time of Jesus Christ. Because what he's saying, every valley shall be filled, and every mountains and the hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation. It didn't happen in the time of Jesus. It didn't happen in the time of John the Baptist, because they were just preaching and preparing the way, and people did not understand what this message was. But this message is going to be fulfilled in the time of the millennium kingdom. Here is saying in the verse 6, all flesh shall see the salvation. All flesh means each and every person at that particular time will be saved. It didn't happen in the time of Jesus. It didn't happen in the time of apostles. Or it's not happening today. But it will happen in the time of 1,000 years reign. Because it is recorded in the word of God. It's going to happen. Let's read Isaiah chapter 59, verse 20 and 21.
And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever.
Jeremiah chapter 31, and start reading from verse 31.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
See, this time is coming for the children of Israel. Their sins will be forgiven, and there won't be a single person who is not saved at that particular time. So go to the book of Romans, chapter 11, and verses 26 and 27. So the Saint Paul also is saying, the time is coming, so the whole nations of children of Israel will be saved. Please read.
And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins.
This is the time God has set for the children of Israel. Their sins will be taken away, their sins will be forgiven, and they will be all saved by the grace of God. When they heard all of these things, they didn't understand. But the grace of God came to us. We received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The new covenant Jesus Christ made with his blood, and our sins are forgiven and forgotten. But for the timing, for the children of Israel is still waiting, and they have to wait until the millennium kingdom. Until then, they have to confess their sins just like you and me and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Otherwise, no one can go to heaven. If somebody wants to go to heaven, somebody wants to ask forgiveness for their sins, they have to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse our sins. But for the children of Israel, the time is waiting, and the word of God says, all flesh shall be saved at that particular time. Let's go to the Luke chapter 3, verse 7.
Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.
Now, when the John the Baptist is preaching, and he is saying to the people who are audience, he said, O generation of the vipers. Can a pastor say to some of this congregation like that, not a single person will be staying at the church. They will run away. But the John the Baptist was telling the truth to these people. You are generation of like a vipers. When we are telling the truth, but you are coming to bite us and kill us and destroy us. But the word of God is saying you should be bringing the fruit of righteousness. He says if you don't bring the fruit of righteousness, then God is going to cut you down and throw you in the fire. All these children of Israel, they were so proud that they are the children of Abraham. You remember when Jesus Christ was talking to them, he says, we never committed sin. We were never in the bondage. We are the children of Abraham. We are free people. John the Baptist says, don't be boasting that you are the children of Abraham. God has power to make children from these stones. And if you remember when God told Abraham to sacrifice your son, Isaac, and he took his son and he told the people, we are going to worship and we are going to come back. Actually, he was going to sacrifice his son. But the word of God says he believed even though my son dies and burned to ashes, God is able to raise him from the ashes. So that's what this John the Baptist is saying. That's the kind of faith Abraham had. He's saying, if you are rebellious people, God can destroy you all and make the people from the stone for Abraham. And so he says, don't be so proud. Don't be like a vipers. Repent of your sins. Come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, God is going to cut down these trees. He says, what tree is going to cut down? The tree is not bringing the good fruit. How do you know the good tree? The word of God said, if the fruit is good, the tree is good. If the fruit is bad, the tree is bad. So he says, he is going to cut down all those trees which are not giving a good fruit. And so the word of God says, the fruit we have to produce. Once you are born again, child of God, Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, then the Jesus Christ in you produces a good fruit. Go to the Galatians chapter 5, read from verse 22 and 23.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
So now hear what the Word of God is saying. All these fruits are produced by the Spirit of God. Some people say, oh, I cannot produce this fruit because I don't have the Holy Spirit. This is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ is the love of God, so you can produce the love. I don't have time to explain each and every fruit, but in short, what I'm trying to say, if you have Christ in you, then you can produce this fruit. And those are the fruit, are fruit of righteousness. So John the Baptist is saying, if you don't produce good fruits, you will be cut down. Okay, go back to the Luke chapter 3, verse 10.
And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answereth and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise.
Now, when you read this, many people will say, Jesus Christ and John the Baptist, they were talking about socialism. Means, if you have something, give it to other, unless everybody to be equal. But that's not the Bible teaches. Bible teaches, if your brother is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. That's the things we do. But the same time, if you know the parables was given, one person was given 5 talents, one person was given 2 talents, and one person was given 1 talent. And when the master comes back, who has 5, he made 10. Who has 2, he made 5. And who had 1, he put it under the ground and hid it. And so what the master did, master didn't say, hey, this one man, poor man, didn't do anything. He put it in the ground and wrap it in a handkerchief. So give your 10 to him and give your 5 to him. So let him have maybe 16 talents. No. What did he say? Take it from him and give it to the person who produced more. So from that, the Word of God is not teaching us the socialism. Take it from the rich and give it to the poor. That man worked hard to make it more. You cannot take it from him. So he says, you had a 1 talent. Why didn't you make more? But he put it in a handkerchief. Do you know handkerchief is for? Wiping your sweat. He doesn't want to sweat. He doesn't want to work. He wants to just take it from somebody else. The Word of God says, take it from him. The Jewish people had the law. They had the law, if your brother is hungry, give him something. And you should not keep your brother or your family members hungry. Go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verse 7 to 9.
Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity.
If you read the whole chapter, the Word of God is saying you are fasting and praying and you're asking to me, but he's saying reality in your house means in their community. They're talking about children of Israel. He did not say go to the foreign land and give it to those people. He's saying in your household, you have to find your brother, your sister, your family, or relatives should not be having any problems financially. So give them food, give them bread, take care of them, give them clothes. Then only God will hear your prayer. And he says, then God will heal your body. Then God will prosper you. Otherwise, if you are say, I want everything for me, then he said, at that time you start praying, I will not listen to your prayer. God wants his people to supply the needs of the believers. That's what the word of God says, take care of the household of faith. Even though he says poor in the scripture, poor in the Lord, poor of the children of God. And then you go and give it to somebody else. But our duty is in finding out the born-again Christians who are suffering, give it to them first. Then God will hear your prayer. Then God will heal you and he will make you strong. And so, poor and needy, Jesus Christ says, poor and needy will be always there until the end of the world. We can find out the people who are coming to church, see their family. If the church member who was giving the tithes on offerings, and if that person lost the job, then we have to help that brother because he was putting his money in the storehouse. So it's our duty to find out the person who gives tithes and offerings, that person should not suffer. That person should not have the food problem in the house. So that's what is the word of God talking. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 3 verse 12.
Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you.
Now, publicans, he says, publican came to him. Now, the publicans are the tax collector. Those are the people they were saying tax collector called publicans, sinners. He said, what we should do? He said, you know, when you asking people give the tax, don't overtax them. Don't take more than you're supposed to take. So that's what the advice he gave to them. Let's read further.
And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages.
Now here the soldier came. They had the question, what we should do? Now many people are saying, Christianity teaches, don't go to war. Because Jesus Christ says, somebody hit you on one side of your cheek, show another cheek. So they're saying, Jesus Christ is saying, or the Christianity is saying, we should not be having war, we should not be having weapons. That's not the Bible teaches. When you have a government, he says, whatever belongs to Caesar, give to Caesar. Means whatever the government law is, you do it. If you remember, when the people of God start telling to Samuel, we want a king. And the Samuel says, why you need a king? God is the king and I am his servant. Why you need a king? They say, well, we want a king like Gentiles. Then God says to Samuel, Samuel, why are you crying? These people asking the king, that means they rejecting me. Tell these people what kind of king I'm going to give it to you and what king will do. So the Samuel goes and tells the people, if you want a king, king will tax you. You want a king, king will take your children for the war. If you want king, king will take some of your land. And they said, that's okay with us, but we want a king. So the point I'm making, when you have a king or when you have a country, then you will have the king or president, and they will have rules and regulations. And if some other country makes war with you, then you have to defend your country. Then you have to send your children for war. That is biblical. And so all these people coming and asking to the John the Baptist, now we are soldiers, what should we do? Throw our weapons and everything? Not to be soldiers? That's what their question was. He said, no. What I'm going to tell you, when you are soldiers, do the right things. Don't do violence. You have the gun, you have the sword. That is used for the enemy or lawbreaker, not for the good people. So don't do violence. In another thing, he says, don't accuse falsely. Other day, I was standing on the, my wife was shopping, and I was standing near the car, and I was going to go, and the meter was running, and I had the enough money in the meter, and I'm just standing, looking at my wife, she's finishing. Here comes the lady and start writing the ticket. And I says, ma'am, there is a money in the meter. Can't you see it? Still she wrote this. She said, I already wrote it. Now talk to the judge. So what I'm trying to say, these people are just breaking the law, thinking they are doing some service to the city. And just think, if I'm so busy, I'm not going to go. If I'm making $100 per hour, I'm not going to go there, buy a $35 ticket. But I went to the city. I went to the city, I talked to the judge. I said, sir, I'm a minister, and I don't lie. I was standing there, and there was a money in the meter, and here comes the lady and gives me a ticket. So he knew the lady didn't show up, so I am right and she is wrong. So he canceled the ticket. Do not accuse somebody falsely. So here the word of God is saying, do not accuse somebody falsely. And the other thing is, be content with your wages. And so if you are a born-again child of God, you are not working for government or working for anybody. You're working for Jesus. And so that's why we have to tell other people, the Christian people are honest people. We are born-again Christian. We do not break the law. That's what the John the Baptist was saying to these people. Repent and do the right thing. And once we are born again people, we repented for our sins. And if you follow Christ, then we are not going to do anything wrong to anybody. Okay, let's go back. Luke chapter 3, verse 15.
And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Now when John the Baptist was preaching this kind of preaching to the people, and they were thinking, is he a Messiah? Is he a Christ? Who is this man? Because they were waiting for Messiah to come. And so they were thinking, so they might be talking or asking, are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? Why are you telling us to repent? Why are you telling us to be baptized? Why are you telling us that we should change our life? Who are you? And then he says, I am not the Messiah. I am just baptizing you with water. But there is someone coming after me. He is mightier than me. And I am not even worthy to bend down and untie his shoes. He is greater than me. I am baptizing you with the water, but he is the one who is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.